new wine. The Lord, our God, spoke to us. You have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Or we could say, you have dwelt long enough in room 305. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess it. Now, you think of like a person like David, who killed literally hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of people with his hand. Statistically, he's going to go into one of those battles and not make it. But how many know when God before you, it don't matter who's against you. So we know that God was there, probably angels there, making sure that any sword that was about to land on him, angels were there to boom, boom. But yet God made him go into those battles. And it is the same thing for us. He has it all worked out, but we're going to go face to face with the enemy, face to face with opposition, and we got to fight. We've got to go against it. We've got to look the opposition straight in the face, the circumstances that don't look good, and we've got to go and possess, because he's called us to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Isn't that pretty? Oh boy, we better get moving now. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Points to ponder. Abram had to be able to see it to inherit it. We must see what God has for us with the eyes of faith. That was one of the key things that Abram had to do while he was in the land. He had to look northward, southward, eastward. He had to walk through the land. And the next thing, Abraham needed to lift up his eyes. We too must look up from our small circumstances to see the big plan God has for us. And I fear, in a good sort of way, that we've become so accustomed to where we're at that we don't see where to go. And so it's time to look up, not physically, but spiritually. Abram had to look up from, if he was looking up, he saw where he was at. He saw a little bit of ground. But when he looked up, he saw miles and miles and mountains and miles and this way, miles that way. And God was saying, look at it, look at it, look at it, look at it. Get that in your heart. I want you to see that on the inside, because that's what I've given to you. And we, in the same way, have got to see what God has given to us. Can anybody shout or something? More points to ponder. God said, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. We can't wait till we get to where God is calling us to look up. We must choose to look up now and see what God has for us before we get there. New wine must lift up our eyes now, right from where we are, and see ourselves moving into what God has for us. Right? It's time. I'm telling you, there are people that God is just waiting to bring in here amongst us. And he's saying, I'm jumping ahead of myself. I am. I'm telling you. Let me just read this. Genesis 13, 16, and 18. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. So after God gave him this command, what did Abram do? Sit on a log? No, he began to walk. And he began to look. And as he was walking, he looked northward, he looked southward, he looked eastward, he looked westward. And then when he got a new place, he built an altar to say, God, you spoke to me, and what you've promised, you're going to fulfill. I made sure this was a little cheesy. We lift up our eyes and see the church Jesus is building. This has been my verse of the week. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus will build his church. He's got a plan. And we're to build it with his wisdom, his understanding, the way he calls. We're not supposed to look at another church and say, oh, that's a really awesome church. Let's do it like that. No, let's do it like Jesus. That's not to be critical on anything. Let's do it like Jesus. Because what Jesus is building is way beyond anything we've ever seen. Right? Jesus isn't just building a group. He's building a move that takes cities, that transforms cities. I will build my church in the gates of the city will not prevail against it. There's a lot we could say there we're not going to know. We see new wine as an oasis of the Holy Spirit. That's, as we've talked about in weeks past, oasis, that's the word God gave me. So he's given it to us, an oasis. It's a place where there's water and living things in the midst of a desert. It's not just us, but he has called us to be that. Amen? A place where people are saved weekly and added to the church. That's how Jesus gets it done. A place where people are healed and set free every week. I like that every week thing. Well, scratch that. Every day. We must see ourselves going to 200 in attendance according to the word of the Lord. According to the word of the Lord. Well, God will do it when he does it. He'll do it as we go face to face and do what we're called to do. Right? It's there. We must see ourselves moving into our new building very, 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 very soon.
Yes.
I and myself am so content here. That could be a problem. I don't mind being here. But there are people who won't come here, or if they come here, they won't stay here. They're too immature now. And I mean, there could be immature people that come and stay, whatever, but in at least in that area, they need a little bit more stability. Whatever. We also need to be able to go to Sunday mornings beyond other things. Can you just say, yes, Lord, we're going to our building. Amen. Preach it, somebody. What could our new building look like? Let's look up. And let's see it. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Yeah. Going in the door. Our place. Marie can feel it. So I drafted up an idea. I found a building and put my name on it. Literally. Maybe something like this with the sanctuary, multiple rooms for children and youth and offices. We need at least 3 rooms for children, for the babies and the toddlers, the younger ones and the older ones. We need 3 rooms at least for children. We need a sanctuary. We need at least a couple offices. And bathrooms. I'm not using a BIF. Yeah, unless it was why the real one was getting built. I'd go for a week or 2. Amen. And then I started to dream a little bigger. Yeah. Now, this wouldn't be this year, but I am serious about the church using, I don't mean just our church, but the church weekly, the church in the Twin Cities is going to use the sports facilities. So if the Vikings get a new stadium, eventually it's going to be for the church on Sundays in different times. I don't mean just, I'm not talking about new wine. I'm saying for the church. It will be in these last days. I see it. Let's lift up our eyes now from the place we are, from the place we are, and look at what God will do for us when we go forward in faith. See these people right here? Right there? Those are, that's what you look like when you're expecting. Those are happy people, like you and me. Five signs of a healthy, expectant church. I went to the Healthy Church Encyclopedia to find out what these five signs were, and I am here to report to you today what they are. It's called the Book of Acts. Five signs of a healthy, expectant. Are we expectant?
Yeah.
Well, here's five signs that were expectant and ready to deliver. Ask your neighbor, you ready to deliver? Five signs of a healthy, expectant church. Number one, joy and praise come natural. Luke 24, 52 and 53, and they worshiped him, Jesus, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. That's how Luke ends his gospel. They went with great joy. Not great sorrow, not great somberness, not great, just be serious. Yeah, we've got to be serious with great joy. From what they tell me, it's the good news. And Jesus told me that we won. We got reason to rejoice, right? Number two, prayer times are not seen as less important times. Say that again. Prayer times are not seen as less important times. Acts 2, 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Who is he referring to? The church. The church continued. The church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The church continued in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Amen. Oh, wrong button. Oh, never mind. There we go. Number three, the whole church is passionate about seeing God pour out his Spirit and do greater things. If you are not, there are churches out there that are not too. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice. Now who did? They. Who is they? They went to their own companions. They went back to the church, the apostles. They reported that the chief priests said, "You shall not speak or preach anymore in the name of Jesus." And they said, "Is it right to obey you or God? If God has said to do this and you say something to do something different, we can't disobey God to obey you. We would obey you if it didn't violate what God had already said. But he said, go preach the gospel." Start here. So when they had heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They didn't pray for boldness. They prayed that they could preach his word with boldness by him stretching out his hand. What did they pray for God to do? It's by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done. They said, God, we want more healings. God, we want more signs. God, we want more wonders. God, we want some more things that even confuse people for a time, but it gets them thinking. We want you, God, to pour out your Spirit. We want to see things that are powerful. That's a good thing to pray, huh? Is it scriptural to pray that, or do we just go pray for the sick? Yeah, we can pray for the sick. But they also came together and they said, God, we need more power. God, release your anointing in a greater way. Let's pray that for this church. Let's pray for all the churches that will receive it. But let's pray it for this church. Amen. Let's pray that God stretches out his hand. That's part of that oasis that he's promised. Number four, people are excited to meet together and hate to miss a gathering. Acts 2:46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their bread with gladness and simplicity of heart. People are excited to meet together and hate to miss a gathering. I didn't say that they couldn't miss a gathering or they might miss a gathering, but they hate it. I'm married to a woman who I've seen cry because she couldn't go to church. And she wasn't crying about what she had to do. She was crying because she couldn't go to church. Not just because she had something to do or she was going to be seen that night, but she just didn't want to miss and be a part of the flow. That's important. That's important. Like I said, it doesn't mean no one's ever going to miss. But that has to be in the culture of the church, if I can say it that way. Because God is not going to bring in people, not like he wants to, if the culture of the church is take it or leave it type of attitude. You know what I mean? This has got to be in the culture of the church. That was, once again, these are not my ideas. These are Jesus' ideas, right? People are excited to meet together and hate to meet. And if you're not excited, check yourself. Ask why. Right? Now, Jesus said that there are pleasures that will choke out the word. You know? There are other fun things to do and important things, family, etc. But we've got to be very, very important. I mean, we got to be very cautious, and it's very important that we don't let those things have any priority in our life. Amen? And God will test us in a good way. I remember, since the football game was on today, I'll give you this example, not about me, because I don't like football, really. But John Bevere said he would come home from church every week, pull off his tie. He'd have the remote control in one hand and the tie going off on the other, clicking on the Dallas Cowboys right out from church. And one Sunday, the Lord, he's got the tie in one hand and the remote control in the other. The Lord says, go pray. And he did one of those convincing things like, oh, whoa. And he spoke, he said, I'm going to pray for 2 hours after this game. Or 4 hours, I don't know. And he said, he watched the game and he said God was nowhere to be found. And he said, uh-oh, it's an idol. Number five, people are excited to give. Not just people give, but people are excited to give. Because they recognize the purpose. They recognize they're given to God. Now, for the most part, we have, in this church, we have good givers and tithers, for the most part. I got another story. Want to hear a story? Okay. I was like, do you know what this is? Oh, it's getting hot in here. No, really, it is getting hot in here. Or is that just me? Oh, okay. Must be, you got a sweater on, dear. I learned to walk by faith. I mean, I'm not saying I've arrived, but in the area of finances, where I just seen God. I learned when we started the ministry, and most of you've heard some of these stories, and naturally we wouldn't have made it, but it's just the right thing we needed at the right time in the right way, and it's just like, I mean, I've never bought in a car. They just give them to me. I mean, thank you, Lord. There's just been people that have, we've had a few, and just. So a new car will be coming, huh? I mean, yeah, it's a little bit different situation. I'm in the place of ministry. People know, you live by donation or whatever offering. But just people don't know when in the natural you really need this. And it's just like God just works it out. Anyhow, I'm trying to set something up. I don't know how good I'm doing. But we lived in our house, the first home we owned, in Apple Valley, and we were meeting in our basement as a church, and we were giving out, paying more than we ever paid, and whatever, and it was just like all of a sudden, but God was being faithful it was like amazing, and it's always been amazing. But all of a sudden, just like 1 month, it was just like boom. I'm like, God, what is going on? And I mean, I've never been behind in bills or whatever. And it was like going, God, what is going on? I said, Lord, I know in the natural, it doesn't work. But I said, Lord, you have always been faithful and I'm doing what you told me to do. And he said, I mean, he spoke this as clear as day to me. He said, yeah, I can give you the money, but I'm not going to because you're allowing rebellion in your church because you know there's people not tithing and you're not addressing it. Now, I taught on the issue, but I knew it had people. There had just been a few that just went, I don't know. And I was like, everything in me said, Lord, I don't need them. I don't mean that in an arrogant way. I don't need them if I have you. You make up the difference. And he said, no, I'm not going to. Until you address it. So I was like, okay. So that Sunday, I addressed it. I said, there's people that you're just in rebellion to God, you know? You know you're supposed to be giving, you're supposed to be tithing, you're just not doing it. And I preached it, and there was a couple that came for the very first time, and it was their last.
In a good way.
But they dropped over $1,000 in the offering and said, we like your church, it's not for us, but here's an offering. And it was like the Lord saying, see? Like I didn't have the problem with see God can do it. I knew that. I knew God could. But he was like, see, when you address the problem, I'll release it. He withheld it. So this isn't about, so people are excited to give. This isn't about, come on, guys, we really need your money. It's not about that. Yeah, God uses that. God uses that, but what it's about is we are committed together, right? Well, I made that long story longer than it needed to be, but you got the point. Ah, wrong button. The time for look up, look northward, southward, eastward, westward. Lift up your eyes. That looks real, doesn't it? I added those words in. Those words, isn't that cool? Looks like it was in there originally. In a time, this is for you, Scott. In a time to put action to our faith. I meant this cape, not the words. It's a time to put action to our faith. I just believe that we don't have to go even another month or two in this place. Now, I'm so grateful for this place, but we don't have to even go that. If we are standing together and we just say, let's do it. Let's do it. Amen? And so these five things were the five signs of a healthy and expectant church, because God is going to bring in some people, and a lot of them are going to learn as much or more from you than they do from me, because they're not just going to listen to me, they're going to watch what's going on. Listen to what I say or whoever speaking what they said, but then they're going to look at what the church is doing. And if I preach like garbage, but they see it working, the word working in you, they can still go, okay, that's Jesus. Right? Amen. So, I asked Sandy if she wanted to share anything. I kind of told her what I was kind of thinking. I didn't tell her what to share or how to share it, but I just thought maybe she might have something to share. So I don't know. Do you? Okay. Hey, that's how I do it. I just get up here and see what happens. Not really, but sometimes. Yeah, she did for good and bad, huh?
Well, do you mind if I share the vision that you saw in prayer? She just saw a stump, you know, growing up, and it was stripped bare, and it was gold in color, and all around it was this lush green grass, you know, growing up, and it was just tall, and it was a supernatural color of green. It was, you know, just not even a natural green. And as we were praying, we believed that the grass was the new people that, you know, were going to be born again and come into our church. And the stump was the core, you know, that's this group right here. And it was stripped bare, you know, it was, we wouldn't have been able to see that gold, you know, if it hadn't been stripped bare first. And we have all been under this teaching for, years, and like Pastor Corey, we've never had a word like that Pastor Corey brought, but he said, you guys are ready. Stop saying, let's get ready, and we need to get ready, and we got to do this. And, you know, we are ready. You know, we have had the teaching. We know what to walk in, and it's time to do it, you know. And he gave us a word. He said, go out on the streets around the church, you know, and tell people you're here, and tell them if they need a healing, if they need something in their life, will come and Jesus will heal them. That was the word given to us. And so, we need to do it, you know? I mean, the whole church should be there if possible. You know, I know some people work and there's, you know, and if there's, you know, a husband and wife with kids, maybe one or the other, you know, I don't know. But I know that it shouldn't be two or three people every week, that the church should be gathering together to move on the word that was given to us. And so, you know, when God was trying to bring the Israelites to a good place, I don't remember how long that journey was supposed to take, but it was a short journey. What? 11 days. Okay, so, but what they did was they looked at their circumstances. You know, I mean, God parted the Red Sea and led them out. He did many miracles. I mean, there was no reason for them not to believe who he was. just like there's no reason for us to not believe that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And but they looked at, you know, the circumstances. They looked at, they grumbled, they complained, you know. And I think in our hearts, even if we don't say it out loud, we're like, you know, why is this taking so long? You know, why has it been 10 years and we're not seeing this stuff? And we're like waiting on God, you know, to bring us to this place. But I believe that God is waiting on us to be that body, you know, to come together, that we know that we're all important. Every one of us have been placed here for a reason. None of us are just taking up a seat or just here to receive something or try to survive, you know, whatever, you know, try to get what we need. He wants to do that too. But we are here. We all have a part. Every one of us. And if you can't be on the streets, then you should be praying during that time, because we need the prayer. And this prayer that God's calling on Wednesday nights, you don't even have to leave your home. So, I mean, we need to pray. We need to come together and pray. If we really believe God said, you know, what God said to us, that he's going to do it, then he needs to see that we believe, you know, not just waiting. Okay, God, well, let's see what you can do then, you know. So, anyway, that's it.
But that's really been on my heart, too, because, you know, when I've been in prayer and I can hear people saying, you know, what's the pastor doing? You know, what's he up to? I mean, we're not doing nothing. What's going on? I can hear that in my spirit. But it all boils down to, what are we doing as a body? What are we doing? God's spoken to him. He's bringing the word of the Lord to us. It's up to us to activate. I mean this sincerely. I mean, if we all came together and got the vision, see, people lose vision. They lose heart. They wither up. They don't care. You take a seat. I'm here. You know, I did my duty. God doesn't want that. He'd rather you not be here. He doesn't want you here if that's your attitude. He wants you to come with a heart full of expectancy that you're going to meet him here. You're going to meet him. You're going to see him in a way that you've never seen him. And if we can just come together, I mean, Jesus, you know, he spoke to the disciples and he said, wait. Told them not to go anywhere but to wait. I mean, look what he did. They gathered together. All those days in the upper room, they gathered together. They didn't see anything. They didn't see a thing. All they knew is they had to pray. And they prayed together. And together they came, and it's when the Holy Ghost came and flooded that place. And that's what he wants to do here. He does, when we come together. But we're not all together. We're not, I'm sorry, but we are not. We have to have unity of the Spirit. We can love each other, you know, praying for you, you know. I love you. That's not enough. We got to love him. When we really fall in love with him, this church is going to be so unified. Running to prayer. Running on the streets because they want to do what he's saying. But really, this is a serious matter. This might be coming across kind of bold, but I really don't care, because all I care about is him and doing what he is calling. And he's telling this church to wake up. You've been trained long enough. You're no longer in diapers. You're no longer sucking on the bottle. You're acting like you are, but you're not. And he's saying, grow up. He said, get up, get together. Be in unity. Get the vision. So where, I want to ask you, where's the vision? Where's your vision? Where's your vision for here? Because God certainly has spoke to your heart about new wine. And he's saying, so where is it? Where are you right now? Are you really here? Are you really standing and believing with what God is saying? He's not kidding when he saw the stadium. He's not really. He's not. We've seen that. We've seen a big building with a school. People coming in and leaving. Going to the world. We've seen that. And this is God. Because after 5 years, there's no way ministries can do it. We've been to 10. And he's getting the core ready. And you are the core. And you're being stripped naked. Yet you are being stripped so there's no mark on you. So the glory that is in him can be seen through you. And that's what God's saying. He's saying, where's your vision? Can you see what we see? Can you see it? Can you see that building? But can you really? Because you need to ask yourself this. Am I in for the long haul? Am I in for the long haul? Because if you're not and you can't get vision, then you belong somewhere where you can get vision. You belong somewhere else where you can tap in and really tap in, because your soul, your gift is very important. And God is saying to you tonight, he's asking you a question. What do you see? What do you see? Do you see the twins? Do you see them? We see it, but do you see it? Do you see us being sent? Do you see the local church? Do you see the international? Do you see it? That's the only way we're going to be able to press forward. The only way is when you get vision of what God has given. If you're sent here and God promised in his word that he would bless you where you are, we are blessed. So I just want to encourage you to get the vision, write it down, and run with it. Make it plain. That's what the word says. He said, even though it tarries, even though 10 years have gone by, and it looks like, God, what are you doing? He's saying, look, it ain't going to lie. I'm not going to lie to you. I am going to bring what I promised. I am going to bring it. I will bring it. He's speaking to every one of us right now. And he's saying, I am going to bring to you what I promised. I don't doubt it. So you want to ask yourself tonight, do I really believe in the vision? Do I believe that new wine is called to raise up intercessors and win the loss?
Anybody else have anything? Sure.
It was just kind of cool because, well, I guess I've been going through a lot with work lately with being overwhelmed and kind of talking with my wife going, what is going on? It's a good thing, you know, and but it also, you got to really take a look and make sure that it doesn't become a hindrance. And so we've been praying because it's been great. I've been overwhelmed and busy, but it's taken the focus off a little bit. Not my focus, but it's just taken my time a little bit. And lately it's been like, God, you got this going and you got I've got this going, this going, this going, this going. And it's just like, time out. Let's start eliminating some of these things. So I'm praying that things are going to lighten up a little bit. They are. They're starting to. But the last 2 months has been a blessing. Don't get me wrong. Definitely. Definitely. But it also can rob you a little bit, too. So you got to be careful of that. One of the things that was kind of neat is Bridget bought a car not that long ago. And I went and picked up the license plate. And it was a week later, or 2 weeks later, after Pastor Corey was here, somewhere in that range, I pick out the plates. And it didn't even shock me or surprise me. What do you think our number is on our license plate? Not 199, not 201, not 250, 200. And it didn't shock me, though. I just kind of, I looked at Jenny and I giggled. And it was instant. It wasn't like I went later on. It wasn't like later on I went, oh, wow, cool, that's 200. It was like instantly when I looked at it, I was like, that's awesome. That's exactly what I expected it. You know, when I saw it, I was like, God, you're so awesome. And you'd say, well, that might be a coincidence. No, it's God saying, you know what, I will confirm what I'm doing. You know, and we pass things off as coincidence and stuff. So I'm challenged by the word tonight. More even more so. Pastor's right on. You know, we have to grab it and be in one accord. And it's not always this big sidetrack thing. It can always be a little. And it just starts to, and it can get frustrating. You know, I get it. I've been there, but that's where you get on your knees, like they're saying, and I need to do a little bit more of that and say, Lord, where you have me, where are we at, and what do you want from me? You know, and a lot of times we say, well, they're not. We need to worry about ourselves. You know, and where are you at? Where am I at? And I believe fully from here tonight that the distractions that have been good in our life that have hit us, and where we've looked at each other, we've talked lately, Bridge and I, it's like, what's going on here? Why am I so tired? Why am I getting so run down? Why is things robbing me of my time? I believe it's because of what's going on tonight that we're about to go through that breakthrough. So now I get excited. So and you got it's right on, because it seems like every time we get a little bit distracted, pastor's got a word and comes up and is like, hey, it's right on. He's right on. So I'd encourage you, because I not to take this as a discouragement, but encouragement of where you're at, and say, I'm encouraged by it. Not discouraged. I'm not offended by it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to run. Okay? As a body. And get the vision if you don't have the vision. I know Bridge and I, and I've shared with Maria, we've talked. God's got big plans for us. Not to hoard it, not to, I mean, we see the blessings. I spoke a few weeks ago how God's blessed us just tremendously. And I just look at the church, I hear stories of Andrea and Maria, and it's like, that's what he's talking about. Such a time as this. You know, this is why New Wine's here, for such a time as this. So I'd encourage you to just grab hold. And for the love of God, get rid of the spirit of offense. Please. Not for me, for him. Because that will rob you. Even though you'll look at things and think you're right and justified. Bridget and I were laughing the other day. We were talking about a circumstance. We're like, oh, who do we think we are talking about that circumstance? Lord, forgive us. We shouldn't even be talking about that. It's like we sat in a judgment street and looked at somebody's life and went, well, they're doing this. And all of a sudden it's like Bridget goes, we can't do that. We need to just pray for that person. You know, sometimes, and it seems so subtle. It wasn't like we were just condemning, or it was like, well, they should have done this and they should have done this. It's one unified body, and if you've got something where you look in somebody's life and you're like, well, they should be here with us doing this, get on your knees, stop talking about it. You know, you should be talking about it to the Lord. And you know, we're all guilty of it, and it seems subtle, it's little, but it starts to become bigger if you let it fester, and you just grab a hold of it and say, Lord, no more. And there's going to be things that we don't fully agree on when it comes to the word. We agree on the main things. There's no waiver in that. But whether it was said this way or this way in little things, if it doesn't go against God's word, and it's there's some areas in the Bible where you can go into different things where different churches believe things, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's not that big of a deal. Whether it's done this way or this way, the end result, we believe the same thing. We believe he died for us. We believe in all the right things. But we get into the little semantics of things. Well, I just think that's not. We got to be careful of that. We got. You know what? God can change it, and it's not that big of a deal at the end of the day on some of the small stuff. And that's where. And that's something that God's worked on me lately too. It said, you're not always going to agree with everything. You agree on the main thing. Yeah. Everybody kind of get what I'm saying there? Because I always say, well, you always agree on God's word, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But there's some things that you can discuss that are different. Interpreted differently. That's what I want to say. So if somebody interprets it just a little bit different, if it's not against what he's saying, it's okay if it's a little bit of a different interpretation. Okay? And I guess that's for some people here tonight. Maybe for me. but I just want to share with that. The big thing I want to get out of this, I got out of this tonight, I want you to get is to be encouraged, not discouraged.
Amen. Amen. I agree. You know, I believe that you guys want to serve God and you want to fulfill what is your part. But we all need times to refocus, right? And we all go through things in life. And just like Jim was saying too, you know, don't let offenses come in. I've been sensing. I touched on it last week. Offenses with God or offenses with other people. And like he said, subtle. It's subtle when it's not, it just seems like your opinion. You know what I mean? You got this opinion. You're entitled to an opinion, but that's fine. But that opinion can cross over into you're not happy, you know? And we got to be careful about that, you know? I'm like for myself, I'm not here saying I do everything right. I know I do things. Pray for me. Don't pray that I do something specific. That's called charismatic witchcraft. Pray that I will do the will of God. Right. Unless you're praying an exact scripture, like, you know, you can pray that I love people. That you can do that. You know, you can pray that I preach the word. You can do that. But you know, don't pray that I do such and such and such and do this way. God show him that that's wrong and he needs to do it this way. Because even if that is right, that's not how you pray. You pray, God, have your way. And, you know, so then we can trust that God will do what needs to be done. And then we can give it over to the Lord. We don't have to be judgmental. We don't have to worry. And at the end of the day, we're going to stand before God all alone. and you don't have to worry about someone else not doing their part. You know, in the sense of, you know, you just do what you do, love people, serve people. Right? Good.